It's Thursday, the 25th of June, and the morning has that late June stillness where the academic calendar has gone quiet, but the industry most certainly has not. What I kept noticing as I read through everything is that today is underneath it all a story about ownership, about who controls the layers that artificial intelligence is built on, the silicon, the software, and the capability itself. So settle in with me for a few minutes, and let me walk you through four pieces of that. First up, and I think this is the most consequential thing on the desk this morning, OpenAI and Broadcom have unveiled OpenAI's first custom chip. They're calling it Jalapeno, and OpenAI is describing it as its first intelligence processor, a chip built specifically to run large models, what the industry calls inference, rather than to train them. And that distinction matters. OpenAI is being very clear that this is not a repurposed training accelerator and not a general purpose processor. It was designed from the ground up around how OpenAI's own systems behave when they are serving a model to millions of people. The thinking behind the design is that the expensive part of running a model at scale isn't really the raw arithmetic. It's moving data around, balancing memory against compute, and keeping the networking efficient. So Jalapeno is built to attack exactly those bottlenecks, to push the chip's real-world utilization much closer to its theoretical peak than today's hardware manages. Physically, the package appears to hold one large compute chiplet, six stacks of high-bandwidth memory, and a second chiplet handling the input and output. The headline claim is performance per watt substantially better than the current state of the art, though I would flag that OpenAI says the detailed technical report is still a few months away, so that efficiency number isn't something anyone outside the company can check yet. Two things stood out to me beyond the silicon. The first is speed. This chip went from concept to tape out, the point where the design is finalized and sent off to be manufactured, in roughly 9 months. For a chip this size, that is remarkably fast, and the companies credit a tight loop between the hardware and software teams, one that actually used OpenAI's own models to help with the design work. The second is that engineering samples are already running real workloads in the lab at production speed and power, including one of OpenAI's own coding models. But the real story here is strategy. Jalapeno is the first step in a multi-generation platform that pairs OpenAI's chip designs with Broadcom's manufacturing and networking, with deployment starting at the end of this year. What OpenAI is doing is the same move the big cloud companies made before it, deciding that renting your compute from NVIDIA forever is a position of weakness, and that if you are going to spend at this scale, you want to own the hardware and tune it to your exact workload. The open questions are the ones that technical report will have to answer: how it really performs on live traffic, and what it costs against NVIDIA's latest. Moving on to our second story, and it stays close to the same theme of the big labs pushing into new territory. Google has added what's called computer use directly into Gemini 3.5 Flash. Computer use means exactly what it sounds like. The model can look at a screen and then click, type, and scroll its way through a browser, a phone, or a desktop the way a person would. And the detail that makes this interesting is which model it landed in. 3.5 Flash is Google's fast, cheap tier, not its flagship. So Google is taking a capability that until recently was reserved for the most expensive frontier models and putting it in the budget seat. The numbers back that up on a benchmark called OS World, which measures how reliably a model can actually drive a real operating system and its applications. Gemini 3.5 Flash scores 78.4%. To put that in context, that is within 7/10 of a point of GPT 5.5 and of Claude Opus 4.7, effectively a tie with the frontier, but delivered at this tier's speed and price. And the pricing is the point: $1.50 per million input tokens and $9 per million output tokens, which Google says is less than half the cost of comparable frontier models. What I want you to take from this is the word commoditization. Computer use has been a premium, slow, expensive capability, something you would reach for sparingly. Folding it into a cheap, fast model changes the economics of where you can deploy it. Suddenly, the high-volume, repetitive workflows, the background agents quietly filling out forms and moving data between systems, become affordable in a way they weren't a week ago. And it tightens the three-way race between Google, OpenAI, and Anthropic on agentic control of a computer, with Google now claiming benchmark parity at a fraction of the price. I'll add the caveat I always add for this class of system, because it matters. OS World is one benchmark, and a score near the top of it does not mean these agents are robust out in the messy real world, where the hard problems are recovering from your own mistakes, reading an ambiguous screen and not taking an action you can't undo. A high single pass score also tells you very little about how the thing behaves, safety-wise, when it has real control of your machine. Still, parity-level computer use at this price is a genuine shift in what teams can afford to automate. Third up is a story that moves us from hardware to something more contested, the model itself, and who's allowed to learn from it. Anthropic has accused Alibaba of illicitly accessing its Claude models to extract their capabilities in violation of Anthropic's terms of service. This came out in a letter Anthropic sent to United States senators and to White House officials, dated the 10th of June, that surfaced this week. And Anthropic isn't describing a small probe. It characterizes this as the largest known data extraction campaign a Chinese entity has run against its technology to date. The specifics are concrete and worth hearing. Anthropic says operators it links to Alibaba's Qwen AI laboratory used roughly 25,000 fraudulent accounts to carry out about 28.8 million exchanges with Claude between April and June, deliberately working around the geographic rules that bar Anthropic's software from being accessed inside China. The technique at the center of this is called distillation. In the ordinary sense, distillation is a perfectly standard method. You use one model's outputs as a teaching signal to train another. But it crosses a line and violates these labs' terms of use when it is done to clone a cutting-edge model without permission. That authorized versus unauthorized distinction is the whole crux of the complaint. In the letter, Anthropic frames this as part of a broader pattern. Its words are that these attacks are carried out to harvest United States AI capabilities across the frontier labs and repackage them as someone else's, without paying the enormous training and research costs it took to build them in the first place. And you can see the economic logic that makes this such a sore point. If a competitor can approximate a model that cost a fortune to train by paying only for queries against it, then the moat around frontier capability gets very shallow very fast, and the cost advantage runs entirely to whoever is doing the copying. Why does this matter beyond one company's grievance? Two reasons. Technically, it is a hard lesson in how difficult it is to stop capability from leaking out through an ordinary interface. Query traffic at that scale, spread across tens of thousands of accounts, is genuinely hard to tell, apart from normal use. And at the policy level, Anthropic choosing to take this to senators and the White House, rather than handling it quietly through lawyers, tells you it sees the question as one of national competitiveness, not just a private contract dispute. Where it goes next will depend on the response. And for our fourth and final story this morning, one more move in the contest over the stack, this time the software layer that sits between the models and the chips. Qualcomm has agreed to acquire a startup called Modular for nearly $4 billion in stock, a price that more than doubled the company's previous valuation. Now the number is notable, but what makes this worth your attention is what Modular actually does, and who built it. Modular was founded by Chris Lattner, and if that name doesn't ring a bell, his work almost certainly touches the software you use every day. He created the compiler infrastructure that underpins an enormous amount of modern computing, and he designed Apple's Swift programming language. At Modular, he has spent the last few years on a very specific and very valuable problem: letting developers write their code once and run it across different chips without having to rewrite it for each piece of hardware. That portability problem is the strategic heart of this deal. Right now, getting top performance out of an AI accelerator usually means committing to that vendor's proprietary software, and NVIDIA's software ecosystem, called CUDA, is a huge part of why NVIDIA's lead has been so durable. It is not just that the chips are good, it is that everyone's code is already written for them. Modular's tools, its Mojo programming language, and its inference engine are aimed squarely at breaking that lock-in. A mature write-once-run-anywhere layer is exactly what you need to make non-NVIDIA chips practical at scale. So for Qualcomm, which has been signaling that it wants a real place in data center AI inference beyond its home turf in phones, buying that software layer is a way to make its own hardware ambitions credible. And it fits the pattern of the whole morning. The contested ground in AI compute is increasingly the software that targets the silicon, not just the silicon itself. The thing I will be watching is whether Modular's developers, who adopted its tools precisely because they were neutral and hardware independent, stay on board now that the project has an owner with its own chips to sell. So what was this morning really about? Underneath four very different announcements, there is a single contest. The fight to own the layers that artificial intelligence runs on. OpenAI reaching down to build its own silicon. Qualcomm buying up the software that decides which silicon wins. Anthropic drawing a hard line around its model and what others are allowed to take from it. And Google pushing real agent capability down into a cheap tier where it can spread everywhere. Each one is a company choosing a layer of the stack to own and to defend. And together they point to the same shift where the days of simply renting your intelligence from someone else are giving way to owning the whole thing end to end. The full digest has the rest of today's reading, including a strong run of papers I didn't get to here. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Until then, keep reading.